Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. The time is now 10 a.m. and this is the time set for the Board of County Commissioners for Columbia County, Oregon. Today is Wednesday, January 8th, 2020. Please join me in the flag salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right. Next item on our agenda is the minutes for December 18th, 2019 board meeting and the December 18th, 2019 work session.
Mr. Chair, I move approval of the minutes as presented.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the minutes as presented. Is there any discussion? Hearing none, all in favor signify by aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, same sign. Motion carries unanimously. Next item on our agenda is visitor comments. If you have comments, please come forward. Good morning, Lee. How are you today?
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good morning. Thank you. Well,
so
compared to yesterday.
They're not doing well.
No. So we're familiar with the Bigdale Road incident.
Oh, name and address for the record. Sorry, it's my first time as chair. There's a few things I might forget here and there.
Deborah, D-B-O-R-H, Lee. L-E-I-G-H, Kenoyer, K-E-N-O-Y-E-R. And the address? 68670 Bedell Road, B-E-D-E-L-L. Dear Ida.
Okay. All right, you're good to go.
Okay. So everybody's aware of the continuous problems, and they have been subsided and down. And I have not had personal destruction on my property lately. However, Eddie is still up on his section of the road. He's still working with his tractor and equipment. He's still digging ditches. It's my concern now that since the road department went in and found all the culverts, I have one that was clogged, repaired, and fixed, and that runs straight down to my septic and my front yard and my rock wall and that. That was always the issue beforehand. Road department brought in a bunch more dirt from scooping out the ditches. We made it flatter up there. They put a new culvert in, and we angled it towards the side of my property. So I can't really say that it made a difference or not because of all the rainfall that we've had that was unexpected. So it wasn't a normal rainfall for me to say yay or nay against. However, Mr. Monk is up there making the ditch wider, deeper, and all that volume of water is going to come down and it's going to come right to that culvert and it's going to overspill into my yard and the section that the road department built. Because it's increasing more, I went up to take photographs and was assaulted by Mr. Monk. He physically threw rock and gravel at my car. When I had the window down taking pictures, he came over screaming and yelling and spitting on me. After he went back to the ditch, I got out of my car to take a picture of the damage at the location. He then approached me with the shovel and with the blade in one and the other end of the shovel, threatened me, came right up to my face, and said, "I will effing kill you, you be," and all these other words. And when he did one swing, he hit me in the right shoulder, opposite of the blade. It was just the stick half, and it was his hand and his glove that hit me in the shoulder.
Did you report this? Did you
yes.
call the cops?
Okay. Detective Peabody is working on a case. He's awaiting my pictures that I may have not correctly sent to him. Do that very well. So I'm going to swing by. However, I have photographs here.
Okay.
If you'd like to view them.
JC, could you grab
that
those?
That I just had printed out. He is down past his easement property and continuing closer to my property.
Would you like to see Eddie? Oh, she's got the...
When I did call the police, I said I wanted to press charges. Detective Peabody and I discussed this. Apparently Eddie had called and said he was not on the road. He was not working. He did not assault me or anything, and that I was lying, but I have the pictures right there with the shovel and him in my car and throwing the rocks in the car. He then proceeded to tell Detective Peabody that I had been up on his property and had stolen some surveillance cameras, so he didn't have any surveillance of me, which I did not do. I don't even know where they're at or anything, and I would not commit a crime to try to persecute him. So now it is, if anybody, which where he's at is down past another neighbor that I do business with. Their sons come and take care of my animals when we're on vacation or anything. So I go up there to see them, to pay them, to coordinate on a schedule. Eddie has said if I'm up there on his road or on his property, he's going to kill me. I better watch out. And so it's escalating. And we just need to, we've tried to calmly work it out in the past. And we've done, okay, we'll go 6 months. We'll go 6 months. Here's a letter. You know, let's all calm down. It's not working. He doesn't respect the road department. He doesn't respect you. He doesn't respect the officers of the law. He certainly doesn't respect me. He respects nobody. And all it's doing, as you can see by the pictures, is it's just escalating and escalating. Pretty soon, nobody's going to be on that road. He's attempted to run several other neighbors with his car. He takes their garbage cans and recycling cans, and he throws them down the hill or hides them in bushes. There are all victim accounts of these, but we need to somehow come up with some type of plan with the road department. And Mike is not really in a position, he does not need the extra stress of dealing with Mr. Monk. So I'm kind of asking you guys to just wipe your hands, we're done, we're through, there is no more chances for Mr. Monk. There has to be something drastically done to make him respect the rules and the laws of the neighborhood and superiors. So that's why I'm coming to you today asking for your help before one of us is seriously injured. So,
well, thank you for your testimony this morning. We appreciate it. We will discuss it this afternoon and look at a solution or possibilities for moving forward.
Okay. Mr. Chair, may I ask you a question?
Yes.
For follow-up? You said that you've contacted law enforcement. I assume that you have legal counsel of your own as well. I'm a little confused about the part about you are hiring someone to care for your animals and then you have to drive up towards Mr. Monk's house where they live to pay them. Is that what you were talking about?
Correct.
When you said something about the possibility of trespassing and stuff. So you do have to go that direction.
Correct.
You know, I've been at your place. I've been at his place. I know where we're talking about there a little bit. But just I was looking for some clarification as to the fact that you have to go that direction.
Right.
To take care of that piece of it. And, I mean, it certainly sounds like our road department has been proactive, and I know that they have in dealing with some of your concerns. But it sounds to me from what I'm seeing in these pictures and what you're telling us here today, this is a law enforcement issue, and they are engaged, and I just was, you know, and I can give you no legal counsel whatsoever, but it certainly sounds like good counsel on your side would be necessary if what is indicated in these photos is going on. So,
and so, you know, I've said things are fine, things are going good. He's up working on his half of the property, which he's not supposed to do per your letter, per road department, per everybody. But I haven't, I'm not going to sit there and watch him and nitpick every time he's on the road. But what he's doing now is going to, once again, cause conflict with my property. So that's why I'm back up here again, that now I'm going to have to do my due diligence of wasting my time and stressing my own feng shui out by dealing with him. And, you know, it's us girls, can I get together and go for walks on the road? In the event, you know, we would need to carry a gun or a taser with us to protect ourselves. And there you're just kind of walking into a no-win situation. And it's not, so it's impeding on our lifestyle of of our health and our personal safety. And I'm more or less asking for trouble if I carry my gun or a taser, knowing that I am going to have a conflict with him. So
thank you for that clarification.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, Lee.
Thank you, Lee. Is there any other visitor comments this morning? Anyone else? Okay, good morning, Alta. Please state your name and address for the record.
Good morning, commissioners. My name is Alta Lynch. I'm with the Elks Veterans Bunker, located at 125 South 13th Street. And I'm just doing a reminder that our annual fundraiser is coming up February 8th. It's going to be at Bussini Hall. This is where it's our big fundraiser. We raise funds throughout the year, but it's what supports the bunker and the events and the things that we do, encouraging people to come attend. We have a dinner and a silent and a live auction. Individual tickets can be bought online. They can go to our webpage or they can go to our Facebook page and follow it to Afton Ticket Sales and choose their menus. And I'm also very proud to say that we have a new young lady in Columbia County who's going to be opening up a restaurant. It's going to be called Columbia County Bistro, and it happens to be Kaylee Stano. And that's the young lady used to volunteer with me with veterans when we were doing events. She went to the Culinary Institute, and of course she worked with Trent at Blackbird Catering and Columbia Brewing. And Kaylee is going to be our caterer that night.
Very nice. Cool.
So, and I can guarantee you the food's going to be good because she did our Veterans Day dinner up at the Elks Lodge for our veterans. And I have to say, this is the first time in years that people have said to me, oh my God, when this young lady opens a restaurant, let me know where it's at. I've gotten text and everything else. So I encourage people, because this is going to be something new too. And I like promoting within. We're taking donations for our live and silent auction, our cash donations, which helps to pay the rent. And again, they can follow it on Facebook. I'll put a poster down on your bulletin board.
And so, time and date and place?
February 8th, Bussini Hall. The doors will open at 5. We'll have a silent auction, dinner, and a live auction.
All right.
Thank you.
Thank you, Alta. Is there anyone else with visitor comments? Anybody else? Okay. We're going to go ahead and move on. This is the time now set for the hearing to consider proposed service reductions to Columbia County Rider. The lines most impacted by reductions will be Line 2, Line 3, and Dial Ride services. Little to no expected impact on Line 1, Line 5, and Line 6. John or Todd, would you like to come give the staff report?
We'll have to tell him to speak up. Sorry, I had to squeeze in here.
Good morning.
Good morning.
My name's Todd Wood, Transit Director, Columbia County Rider. JC's going to be nice here and try to get my PowerPoint up. So, but I'm here to talk about some service adjustments we need to make with Columbia County Rider. And I will just give you some background here a little bit. CC Rider has been operating in a deficit for a number of years. And as you're well aware, back in February of this year, we cut nearly 50% of the service in an attempt to reduce that overall deficit. At the time we cut the service, we knew that that wasn't quite enough. We had a new contract with a new contractor coming in place. We had other expenses that had increased, but we wanted to minimize the impact to the public as much as we could at the time. So we made what we considered to be surgical cuts to the efficiency of the system. And so we did so, knowing that more cuts would need to come. We hoped that we could talk the folks of Columbia County into staving off those cuts by asking them to support our system with a local tax. We are unfunded locally. We run most of our system off grants, as well as a couple of contracts with a few businesses. But it isn't enough to maintain our current levels of service. The voters overwhelmingly rejected our request, and so we are in a position now where we need to make some adjustments. What we learned from the voters on November 5th was two very important pieces of information. One was that the voters felt that Columbia County Rider was not valuable. And I want to make this as understandable as I can without sounding terrible. If you ride the system, or if you know somebody that rides the system, it's valuable. You absolutely see the value. But for the overwhelming majority in Columbia County, they didn't see the value in the system. And when you go to the public and you say, we would like tax money, they want to know what they're paying for. They want to know what value it provides to the system. And the message we got from the voters is, we don't see a value in the system. That's not a knock on anybody but us at Columbia County Rider, as staff, because I don't believe at this point that we have done our job to provide a system that shows the value. And so what we took away from the vote was, one of our main goals now going forward is to create a system that has value, that the majority of the residents in Columbia County can look at and say, you know what, there is value to this system, it is important. So we take that away from that vote. Not a we hate you, we don't like you, but we don't see the value in you. So why don't you turn it into a system we see value? And we think that's important, and we're gonna take that message and run with it. The second message we got from the voters was, you need to live within what you have. We don't have a lot, but the message was very clear. Live within what you have. And that's why we're here today, because we are needing to get ourselves into a position so we know what we have without being in debt to the county and without running into the red every year. In order to get there, we're going to have to make some significant adjustments to the system. Our last adjustments were surgical in nature, trying to reduce inefficiencies. These are going to be a little more painful. And we'll kind of go through what we've done as far as the research and what we're expecting. Any luck?
No.
Okay.
I'm working.
Sorry, I thought it would be simple. No, that's nice. We could just go with that.
Okay.
I don't know what that is.
Me either.
It's a nice picture.
There's a light at the end of the tunnel.
Yes.
Yeah. It's a train, also. Watch out.
Yeah, but there's a light there.
Oh, nice. Way, way further than we're going. Is it on? Did you turn the mouse on? Okay.
Somebody's been messing with it, John, and so
time.
It's not me.
Absolutely wasn't me. Could have been John. If we can't get it up and running, that's okay. I thought it would be a simple thing.
Do we need to call IT up or?
No, if it can't run, it can't run. We can run without it. It's not important. I have it all printed out in case it didn't work. So, I had some slides, but I'll just kind of go through them, and so you guys have an idea. Somebody shut the door for Blanche. All right. So let me just, I'll just go through this verbally. I do have a PowerPoint that I can give you at some point, but I'll just go through this verbally. So let me start by reminding you of the current service levels that we have as of today. After we cut the services in February, we added some services back that would be complementary to our existing services. And some of what we're doing today is reducing some of those complementary services back again.
Todd, can I interrupt you just for a moment,
yeah.
Mr. Chair, if you'll indulge me? If he's got a copy of the PowerPoint presentation that he was going to do, maybe we should send that over to the board's office so that we can get the audience data. Yeah, and there's no sense going through it and then having us all question that. And the audience is here for a reason. Most of the folks in the room are here for this reason. And so I would just assume that we just took a brief recess so that we can get the data to where folks can actually see.
5 minute recess?
Yeah, I mean, just, or yeah.
You could actually take that.
Yeah, it just okay. Rather than make a bunch of question marks in folks' minds, so they can see what they're talking about. Yeah. Thank you for your indulgence on that. Thanks, JC.
Okay. Unless you can move up closer, would that be helpful?
Blanche, would you like us to move you up towards the front of the room? We're happy to do that.
I offered. She said you guys need to talk a little closer into your microphones, especially you, Alex. Got somebody else commented on that because your voice was kind of soft, and we need you guys to blare it out to us. Because we're
hello. Is this better?
That's way too much.
How's that?
That's good.
Can you hear that now?
Yeah, you got to know the audience here, Alex.
I'm also sick, too, so I'm not at 100%, so there's scratch.
And that's what helps with it. We're all old, Alex.
Oh, well, that was difficult at traffic safety this morning.
It was really hard.
Yeah.
I thought it was me.
No, it was difficult. And then the patrons were talking. So that made it.
Then you have this bug going around where our ears clog up and stuff, and then, you know, they pop, and then, oh, well, I can hear. You know?
I love it when they
pop. Henry, did you bring a note saying you were sick?
No, but you, if you just want to come on up here.
I have a can of Lysol spray that I'm spraying around me so that I don't get any of their germs.
Does anybody have the password to log in here?
No.
Ghostbusters?
Do your own password, like your own login, log in as yourself?
Yeah.
Maybe. I don't know that I can't hear.
You should be able to.
I don't exist here.
You are on a different kind of system, huh?
But I'll give it a go.
The compensation study, people were using this, so it may have.
Yeah, no, she didn't have the dongle plug.
Didn't have the what?
The dongle.
The dongle is the little wireless receiver you needed in order to communicate with the keyboard and mouse.
Oh, so the wireless.
No, it's fine. Go away.
But it's nice. We'll also get a copy this way that we can.
So did you get it?
Make sure.
Well, check. Make sure.
Yeah.
Well,
something about the dongle.
Stay.
You made me get exercise.
The head kept all the way from the basement. At least.
I know.
Yeah.
They were here.
Okay. Are you getting the screen leap?
This is the first Windows I've seen in 3 weeks.
Yeah, it wasn't working yesterday.
And we're not getting
the receiver.
So
the gal said she didn't care. So. I'm just trying. I may not be able to log in here because, you know.
Is it applying updates?
No, yes. Oh. It's applying policy drive maps, which I don't know if I have access.
And so far, we're not getting screen leap.
Yeah.
It's just going in the circle.
Well, it depends on how fast their network is.
So you're logging in with your user?
Yes. But my user is actually tied into.
Mm-hmm. It's not hot. No, I'm not sweating because I don't have a fever.
I don't have a fever either.
Oh, there it goes.
Maybe.
right. Nobody look at what's on my desktop.
Just like the
No.
It's not like it was when he started.
I don't.
It's encroaching.
This might take several minutes.
I can't. Yeah, I can't get John to do my work for me.
So we probably can't get screen leap till he is on there. I'm guessing. But we've got IT here, so we're okay.
Is JC here?
Yeah.
Okay.
She was
making copies of things.
I think she has to log into screen leap.
Okay.
If I remember correctly, it's been several months for me. She probably recalls it better than I do.
That's been working very well.
Yeah.
Though,
that's cool.
It really has.
Whoa.
Oh, that's not bad at all. The number of icons.
Yeah.
I work on them on my desktop, and then I move them. It's, yeah.
Okay. So,
and here's JC.
JC, you have to log into ScreenLeap on this, is that right?
No, we just.
No, but I mean in general. For
yeah.
Him.
No,
yeah, but we like having them.
Oh, Henry touched them.
So, a browser window.
I'm pretty sure Henry and I are in the same boat. Margaret, you're going to be paddling up behind us next week.
Nah.
Screen leap.
Thank you,
Jason. I'm taking Zycam.
Ooh, smart. I need to figure that out. Is that the one?
Like you need one?
Swab your nose?
No, it's the one where you just put this little thing under your tongue.
A little pill
under your tongue and let it dissolve.
Can you find them effective?
Mm-hmm. I do that and emergency.
They just took out
We've been sick since we've been in office.
I haven't. Yeah, I've only been really sick. Yeah.
Once. We were both sick at the same time.
I've had minor sicknesses. Only one deadly one.
October. That was the one that almost killed me. Are we live or did she pause us?
I don't know, but she can get rid of us.
Well,
I suppose we
can certainly get by with this if it's going to.
Yeah.
I'll let you guys work. I'm good. I got what I need.
That's how they get to view it.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that's fine. Oh. That'll work. All right, if you could hand me the mouse. Thank you.
Thanks, guys.
Thank you, IT. Right? Come here.
Okay. Are we ready? Okay, we will come back from our recess now. Todd, take it away.
No, that's what he's on me. Hold on. Come on. Crash.
It works.
We tried to do
very, very good, and when it's bad, it's forward.
Isn't that how it always goes?
Should be good. See if we can get
it's
it
like
to run real quick.
When they're good, they're good. And when they're bad, you're like, okay, kids. What happened to that wall?
What do you mean, what happened to it?
They paint the door jam. Like inch around it.
There we go. Okay. All right. Sorry about that.
Hi.
It's working. Hello. You can kind of see it over there.
We've got a printer.
All right. Okay. All right. So we'll follow along. All right. So to reiterate, so the second message received from the community was that we needed to work within what we had. So that is why we're here today. In order to work within what we have to reduce what we have to the level of our grants
and our matching dollars. We actually have a decent number of grants. We have right now incoming about $1.5 million in grants. Our problem will continue to be matching dollars. Most of those grants require about 44% match. Some of them require 50% match. So that's always going to be the challenge for us. So we need to reduce our overall services to below what we have today. As of today, I have enough matching dollars for my $1.5 million. I may not in the future, but today I do. So we need to get ourselves down below our current incoming revenues, and that's what we're going to talk about. So let's talk about what we have today. So as of what we have today, we have Line 1. It makes 9.5 trips into Portland. The half trip is only to Savi Island. It meets with TriMet's Line 16 at 10:30 in the morning for people who get off super early or people who need to go in a little bit later but can't wait for the noon run. Of the 9 trips, 1.5 of them are funded by TriMet. The other 8 are funded mostly by the 5311, which is a federal grant. Our Line 2 is our PCC Willow Creek run. That runs 4 trips a day to and from PCC and Willow Creek, for mainly for college students, but we do have some folks that work on that and that use that line. The Flex line is currently at 10 trips a day. It was at 5. It's now at 10. We added 10 thanks, or 5 thanks to the State Transportation Improvement Fund. Line 5 Rainier runs 4 trips a day from St. Helens to Rainier over to Longview Kelso. Line 6 Fernonia runs twice a day, 5 days a week. Dial-A-Ride is currently at 25 hours. Dial-A-Ride is our service that supports our elderly and disabled population, gets them to the store, gets them to the doctors, and so on and so forth. And PDX Medical is our service that runs from St. Helens, Scappoose, picks up people that need to go to the major hospitals in the Portland metro area, such as we go to HSU, we go to St. V's, we go to Emmanuel. We also hit a couple of the Hillsborough hospitals. And that runs once a week, alternating Tuesdays and Wednesdays. So as of right now, our estimated budget, we have about $2.5 million coming in the door from grants, contracts, fares, as well as the county contribution. But our expenditures are a little over $2.8 million. So we have an estimated $313,000 debt annually. We need to reduce our budget down below that $313,000. So when we look at that $313,000, we began to look at what we needed to do to cut $313,000 out of our system. So we looked at our various routes, and we used the following analysis methods. We looked at ridership. How many people are actually using each of those buses per trip per day? Then we looked at how much it costs for each person to ride. So what we do is we take the cost to run a round trip. We determine how many people are riding that round trip. We do some basic math, and we find out that per person it's costing us X number of dollars. Just to give you a very vague example, oftentimes we have 30 people on a Line 1 either going into or coming out of Portland. It costs us about $79 an hour to run the Line 1. When you do the math, it comes out to around $5 per person per trip. Whereas your Dial-A-Ride, oftentimes we only have one person on the bus, costs about $73 per hour to run Dial-A-Ride, and so it costs about $73 per person per trip. So we use that analysis to determine what our least efficient and most expensive lines were. And then we looked at what lines were funded by grants. We have a few lines that are 100% funded by grants, and as such, do us no good to cut because that money can't go back into the budget. It's grant money, and it's dedicated to those specific purposes. So there was no sense in touching those. So from there, we did some further analysis across each line. We found that Line 1 had the most ridership. It had the lowest cost per ride because it has the most ridership, and it has fairly significant grant funding. We use the 5311, that's a federal grant, to fund much of Line 1. Line 2, it's a lot lower ridership than Line 1. It's mostly college students. It has a much higher cost per ride, but it is partially funded by PCC, and I'll get back to that in a minute because I had to do some negotiating with PCC. Line 3 has fairly low ridership. It has a very high cost per ride overall, and it's only half grant funded. So 5 of the 10 rides are grant funded. Line 5 has low ridership. It is also a high cost per ride. However, it is 100% grant funded. It is grant funded by the 5311F, which is inner city grants, and the match is 50%, but that 50% match is provided by the State Transportation Improvement Fund. So for us, that is a fully funded line, and we don't have to take any resources and put it in there. We use the grant money from the state to do so. The line 6 also is low ridership. It's also a high cost per ride. However, again, it is fully grant funded. We expanded it to 5 days a week. We added banks, and we use that State Transportation Improvement Fund to fully fund line 6. So line 5 and line 6 do not contribute to our current deficit, as they are fully grant funded lines.
Todd, yes. Would you mind me interrupting just for a moment?
Sure.
Can you explain to the audience, both here and on the radio, how important it is for us to connect with other cities? You mentioned just now that we connect with banks there, mm-hmm. Which is clearly outside of Columbia County, but right. Maybe talking about the tie-in will help people understand why we do that.
Yeah, absolutely. So for Rainier, we connect to Longview Kelso. We also connect to Sunset Empire. We connect to River Cities Transit. You know, up in that area, there aren't a lot of services. There's not a lot of grocery stores. There's not a lot of doctor's offices, but Longview Kelso does. Also, there's very little access out of Rainier outside of your own vehicle. So that inner city fund helps us move people across the river, and it also helps bring people to St. Helens. So people in Rainier have access that don't have automobiles or can't afford the drive, access to services there. For Vernonia, we access the Willow Creek Hillsboro area, but we also access banks. Banks has a grocery store, an additional grocery store option for the people of Vernonia. We have one lady that goes to banks specifically for the grocery store. We also access Tillamook Transit in banks, where we didn't have access to Tillamook Transit before, so people can hop on the Tillamook bus. They can go straight downtown on the Tillamook bus, or they can go out to Tillamook. And then we also access Ride Connections Westlink. Westlink connects banks to Forest Grove. It also connects banks to North Plains. So people have access to North Plains and access to Forest Grove. So Forest Grove? Yes. Yeah, okay. Get that note, Grove. Anyway. So it gives those folks that are in far more rural areas than we are down here access to services and options and other transit systems that they wouldn't otherwise have access to. So it bridges those gaps for us.
Thank you. Appreciate
and your
that.
Sunset Empire connection brings people from Clatskanie to...
Yes, Virginia. And Sunset Empire provides services for us right now from Astoria into Rainier, and they service Clatskanie 3 days or two times a day. They're going to up that to 3 times a day. They are going to access Portland, but they're still going to continue to serve Clatskanie and Rainier for us. So they're bridging that connection for the folks who live in the Clatskanie area to be able to access Rainier and allow them to then board our services and access Longview. So it gives them access to that.
Thank
as well.
You.
Yeah. Dial-a-ride, low ridership overall per bus. We have a lot of people that demand dial-a-ride. And we try to get as many of them as we can, but we don't have as many people per bus on Dial-A-Ride, which makes its calculations a little tricky. Sometimes you can get two or three folks on a bus, and sometimes you can't. It depends on where folks live. For instance, I think it's today, we're going out about 6 miles outside of Clatskanie to pick up two individuals and then take them to Longview. So that's two individuals. It's going to take us about 2.5 hours round trip to pick them up, drop them off, and bring them back. So it ends up being a fairly expensive service for us. It is partially grant funded. We use the 5310, our elderly and disabled fund. That is what funds the Dial-A-Ride service in most part. We also use state transportation improvement funds to fund 5 hours of Dial-A-Ride currently.
Is most of the Dial-A-Ride need the elderly and disabled, or?
Yes, mostly, yeah. We get a few requests for rides outside of that group, but generally we're so inundated with requests for that service that we don't have time or ability to serve those who don't fall into that group. Our number one rider of the Dial-A-Ride service right now is those who have medical needs. For instance, we serve a number of people on a regular basis for dialysis. And then we take quite a few people over to the hospitals in Longview, as well as OHSU and Scappoose, so, and Legacy and St. Helens. So that's a lot of our trips. We do have some folks that we take to the grocery store that need to get to the grocery store, and we have at least one that we take to a hair appointment on a regular basis. So it's pretty important for those who don't or can't drive. And then we have PDX Medical. PDX Medical runs every week, sometimes on Tuesdays, sometimes on Wednesdays. We usually have a fairly full bus. So not when I say full, I'm usually talking 8 to 10 people, but we use a smaller bus for that. It does have a high cost per ride, but those folks generally pay a much higher rate because we do go to all the way to OHSU. And so we recover some of that, and it is almost completely grant funded. I say it's almost completely because it's not 100% grant funded. It's close to 90, 95% grant funded, but it's pretty darn close. 50% of it is funded by the State Transportation Improvement Fund. The other 50% of it is funded by 5310 and 5311, the leftovers on those two. So when we look at these, we had to determine what should we not bother with, what should we not look at because it's grant funded. So line one, we decided not to touch that. Originally, we had looked at the Savi Island piece. The problem with the Savi Island piece is, one, it's funded by TriMet. So I have to negotiate with TriMet to move it. And I've had some negotiations with TriMet, but the way the grant is written, we agreed to serve two additional stops, and Savi Island being one of them. So in order to continue to receive the grant money, I would need to move the Savi Island run to another one of the line ones. Well, that becomes problematic because you add time to the line ones, and while it's not a huge amount of time for us as an agency, it is a lot of time for people going to and from work. It's already an hour trip for those folks. Adding another 10 minutes may not seem like a lot, but it really is. And so we determined at this point to reevaluate the Savi Island piece in the summer for next fiscal year and just leave it as is for right now. Because the line one is fairly efficient, as far as cost per ride, we determined that we would leave it as is. It has about 100 to 110 riders in the morning and about 100 to 110 riders in the evening. So we have a lot of people on that service. If anything, people have asked us for more service there. We simply can't afford it. It's a fairly long trip, and it takes a number of drivers to keep that service running.
When you say more service, you mean more times
more frequency,
day.
Yeah.
More frequency.
People would like it to run a lot later at night, and I understand that. Not all of us work a 9-to-5, and people would like more options. Right now, we run about every hour, and that's hard for you if you just happen to work at a time when that means you're there an hour early to work. So folks have had to adjust. It used to run 14 times a day. It now runs 9. So people have had to make some tough adjustments. So we determined that there wasn't a real benefit to us attacking line 1 at this time. Line 5 is 100% grant funded. We have 5311F that funds that, as well as we have the State Transportation Improvement Fund that has come in at a higher rate than expected. And we put in a request for matching monies for 5311F, and we received those. So that one's a fully grant-funded line. The 5311F is something we apply for every 2 years, and we're not 100% sure that it will continue to be available come next biennium. So that line in a year and a half we'll have to look at and see if we can continue to fund it that way or if we need to find a different funding source for it. But as of now, it's fully grant-funded.
And those particular grant funds can't be used for anything else.
Correct. Line 6 is funded by the State Transportation Improvement Fund. It is fully grant funded. I expect Line 6 to stay fully grant funded unless the State Transportation Improvement Fund goes away. So yes, it should. Yeah. It should say Line 6 for now. Yeah, they should all say Line 5. Whatever. Anyway. I read it through 3 times. I should say line 1, Portland, line 5, Rainier, line 6, Vernonia. Anyway, so my apologies. So line 6 is Vernonia. It is funded by the State Transportation Improvement Fund. I will continue to fund it with the State Transportation Improvement Fund. I think it's a lifeline for people who live in Vernonia and don't have access to vehicles or can't afford the drive. So that will continue to be grant funded, and I don't anticipate any changes to that. There is some talks with Multnomah County about them maybe pitching in some funds at some point in the future because they would like more access to Stewart Stubbs State Park, which we service. So hopefully we can talk with them about adding maybe an additional run to service that area. But at this time, we're going to leave Vernonia as it is. So and PDX Medical being mostly grant funded, also, as far as I'm concerned, one of the most needed services for Columbia County. Without a hospital, without access to certain medical services, some folks, that's their only way to get into Portland. And so we want to make sure that continues forever. The more we can utilize that type of service, the better off we'll be.
Does that include Longview?
We do Longview with the Line 5 usually. The PDX Medical is mainly dedicated to the VA, OHSU, Emmanuel, St. Vincent's, Good Sam, those ones that are not as easy to access. We do hit St. John's and Kaiser off the Line 5. The Line 5 actually goes to St. John's, and and we can flex over to the Kaiser Hospital as needed. So we get some requests for that from time to time. Questions so far? So given what we have left, that's what we have to work with for $313,000. So we'll start with Line 2. Line 2 is a bit of a sticky situation for us because we have a contract with PCC that requires 4 lines of service a day, 4 days a week, with 3 lines of service on Fridays. And that contract is renewed every June for the next fiscal year. So Henry and I went to PCC and sat down with them around the table and explained to them our financial situation and requested that they allow us to reduce services but maintain the existing funding level. That was important to us because PCC provides $89,000 in funding for that line that we can use as grant match. And if we lose any portion of that $89,000, we lose grant match. And grant match is critical to us because today we have enough. Tomorrow I can't say we will. PCC agreed, thankfully, with one caveat, and that was that we maintain our existing service levels until March 20th of 2020. And the reason for that is because students had already signed up for classes, and they didn't want students to be left stranded. So we agreed to that. So beginning March 21st, we will reduce PCC to 3 trips per day. Now, this is not actually a bad thing in my mind. It sounds like we're cutting off services, but realistically, we run 4 trips a day, and only about 3 of them actually carry any significant number of students. Students tend to sign up for classes in the morning, and they tend to sign up for afternoon classes. And so we will have a trip that runs students in the morning. We'll have another trip that hits the noontime for classes that get out or start around the noontime, and then we'll run an evening service to pick everybody up afterwards. And I think we should be able to maintain the service levels that most students expect and save ourselves about $43,000 a year on our end. The Line 3 Flex, that's our service that serves Columbia City, Scappoose and St. Helens. It currently runs at 5 trips per day. Its original service levels were 7. We cut it down to 5 last February. We used state transportation improvement funds to add some service and actually add a couple of reverse trips. We looked at a couple of various different options and talked to the public about what their opinions were on the Line 3 and its service levels. And ultimately, we came back with, as of today, we simply want to reduce it back down to 5 and have that maintain its full trips through all three cities 5 times a day. It is a service I want to look at and see what we can do to improve in the future because I think it's going to be critical as these three cities grow. But for stability reasons, the overall consensus was, can you please leave it just going through all three cities 5 times a day? So by reducing down to 5 trips per day, the Line 3 will become a fully grant-funded line with 3 trips in the forward direction and 2 trips in the reverse direction. We have, and it'll run from 7:30 a.m. to 5 p.m. We are having to adjust the running time just a little bit to make sure we stay within the grant requirements, but other than that, we will be back to where we were as of July of this year. And we're asking that this service begin on Monday.
I would suggest that not exactly back to where you were, back to the number of trips with a higher level of efficiency with reverse trips in there. I mean, the way you described that to me, is that
correct? Yeah, I would say, and beyond that, not only with two reverse trips, but also expanded, we've expanded where the flex goes. So I've made a few adjustments to that that time for running purposes, but realistically, we've added about 30 different stops that people can utilize. We've added Columbia City so that the folks in Columbia City now have access to the flex. We now service the library. We get close enough to the pool that people can walk a block and get to the pool. So we've added service level to the flex. So really the flex has expanded on its service level. It's just the hours of service that we're able to provide are having to be brought back down to a 7-to-5 level where it's at.
So did you have a lot of input from folks on how to design this flex service?
Didn't get a lot of input from folks. Most people just basically said at this point, leave it the same. I do think the flex needs work. I think we can do more with it, and I think we can do better with it. But I think at this point, we need to get ourselves financially stable before we look at further changes to those type of systems.
Thank you.
Yep. So those two lines are painful, but they're not devastating. The next service is devastating. We currently run 25 hours of Dial-A-Ride service, and even at those 25 hours, we can't fill all the needs in the city. Unfortunately, Dial-A-Ride is significantly expensive. In order to look at our Dial-A-Ride services and all our services, we convened a group of our peers. We asked Wilsonville Transit to come up. Their director came up and sat with us. We asked Sunset Empire to come, and they came and sat with us. We asked ODOT, they came and sat with us. And we took a day, and we went over our services, and we looked at our services and said, we have to trim the budget. What should we do? And one of the things they identified was the Dial-A-Ride service. As of today, our Dial-A-Ride services all of Columbia County, not just a portion of Columbia County, but the entirety of Columbia County. And I love that we do that, but every one of our partners looked at it and said, that's unrealistic. You're spending hours driving out into the boondocks to pick up one individual when you could be picking up 5 or 6 individuals. And as hard as it is to say I'm sorry to the 1 or 2 individuals, with the limited funding we have, we need to serve the maximum number of people we can. So some of the suggestions they said was, first, we need to eliminate the amount of hours we provide. It was just too expensive to continue to provide 25 hours. So we are recommending that we cut it down to 9 hours. And then what they said is, you need to stop serving, yes, 16 hours. Sorry, cut 9 hours to 16 hours. Thank you. Eliminate 9 hours of service down to 16 hours. So to make that sound a little bit less bad, we did just add 5 hours using the State Transportation Improvement Funds, so we were at 20 hours prior to October. And as of today, we're simply going down to 16 hours. So realistically, we're simply trimming 4 hours from what has historically been there over the last few years. It looks like 9 hours. It's really 4 hours.
How are you going to distribute those 9 hours?
Great question. So the other recommendation that came from the folks, our partners, was that we need to truncate our service area. Serving the entire county was a noble goal, but not a financially realistic goal. Most properties serve within 3/4 of a mile of their fixed route services. That is actually the paratransit rule, and most properties follow that. A few properties go outside that. For instance, the city of Canby serves all the way to their urban growth boundary, which just happens to be 1 mile from 99E. Sunset Empire only serves a small group of their communities, and they're all about a mile radius. And Tillamook and Lincoln County also serve very small groups as well. So in order to cut costs and increase the efficiency, because the goal is I'm going to trim these hours, but I still want to serve the same number of people. Is it possible? It is possible if we unfortunately reduce the level of service we provide as far as distance goes. So the recommendation of the committee and the recommendation we're making today is that we only serve folks who live within 1 mile of the Line 3, the Line 5, the Line 6, or the services provided by Sunset Empire within the borders of Columbia County. For the most part, That's along US 30. Except in Vernonia, it's along Highway 47. And except in Columbia City, St. Helens, and Scappoose, it's the Line 3 actually runs up through the cities, so that expands that beyond the standard border. That actually covers most of our normal riders anyway. There's only a handful of people that fall outside that. But it's unfortunate a handful of people do all fall outside that and will either need to get themselves to our service areas or find alternative forms of transportation. The goal is that by reducing the service to within 1 mile, that we can serve more people. If you're only going 1 mile off, then you can serve more people within that 1 mile radius than if you're spending hours going more than 6 miles outside of Clatskanie to pick up one or two individuals. So the hope was that we can maintain at least the same level of ridership on that service by compressing the service area. So with that comes a burden on our contractor, and we've already had detailed discussions on our contractor to increase the number of people per bus. So instead of having one or two people per bus, I've asked them to get themselves up to an industry standard of what we call 2.5 to 3 rides per hour. Dial-a-ride is generally looked at as a rides per hour. How many rides are you providing per hour? It's still a very expensive service. It always will be. It'll never be as efficient as a fixed route service. But industry standard is about 2.5 rides per hour. Our current services run at about 1.5 rides per hour. So I've tasked our contractor to get us to a minimum of 2.5. If we hit 2.5 rides per hour, we'll serve the same number of people at 16 hours as we serve at 25 hours. If we can get ourselves up to 3 rides per hour, we'll actually serve more people at 16 hours than we do at 25 hours. So that's the goal. And hopefully we can meet that goal. We're going to press very hard to do so because we don't want anybody to lose service. We want to keep as many people on the system as we can. So that is what we have for our service cut recommendations. We're going to eliminate one line on line 2. And I want to thank PCC for negotiating with us, because if they hadn't, this would have been a different picture. We would have either been completely eliminating line 2 or we would have been cutting 2 trips on line 2. But thankfully, due to their willingness to work with us, we're only asking to cut one line on line 2. We are asking to eliminate 5 trips on line 3. And we're asking to eliminate 9 hours of dial-a-ride, bring us down to 16 hours. With those cuts, annually, we estimate we'll save about $320,000, which meets our goal of $313,000. Now, that's not going to happen this fiscal year, obviously, because it's an annual goal. So we won't see this $313,000 savings until March of next year, because it's going to take a full year to realize this. So I just want to be clear, we will still be in debt as of the end of this fiscal year.
But Todd,
yeah,
going back 2 or 3 years, $500,000 down to 300 and some thousand. I mean, we're on
the right
projection to get to that.
Yes, absolutely. To your point, Harry, we were at $625,000 deficit in February of this last year, when we cut services. So now that we're only looking at a $313,000 deficit, we've cut it down by $300,000. And when we look at this, hopefully in a year and a half, we hope we can come to you guys and say, we're out of debt. We don't have any more debt. We can run off what we have. That's the goal. And then once we know what it costs to run the system, then we can start to say, how do we build a system that people want to ride and that they believe is valuable? And I think that's our goal. Sustainability, and then a service that people want and desire. With that, with our focus group looking over, we had them look over everything, all our system. We had them look over finances. We had to look them over our operation. I sent them detailed budgets before they ever came, so everybody had a chance to pour over everything we had and look for inefficiencies and issues. And one of the glaring issues that came up to them was our fare system. Our fare system is, I did not put it up here, but it's a interesting pyramid. We have what's called a three-zone system. And the way the three-zone system works is there's a base zone. That's the zone you're supposed to have started in. And then it's $5 inside the base zone, and then $1 for each zone barrier you cross. So that gets really confusing right off the bat for just the average rider. But then, somewhere along the line, the system said, except the flex is only $2. So the flex stays in one zone, but instead of being $5, it's a $2 trip. And then somewhere else along the line, somebody said, Kelso, Longview, they should be a $2 ride too. So as of right now, from Rainier to over to Kelso, we only charge $2. So we have a system that has a base zone of $5, each additional zone of $1, except in at least two cases. That becomes a problem for the average rider. One, it's not fair. And two, people often don't understand what the fare is, and we get a lot of questions that even our drivers sometimes get confused about. So we needed to, A, reduce the complexity of the fare system. B, we needed to reduce our overall expenditures. Because of our fare system as convoluted as it is, we buy multiple different types of tickets, multiple different types of passes, and we spend an inordinate amount of time going through the tickets and passes, counting them and reconciling them. And it takes a lot of staff time. It also takes printing costs to make those things. So we needed to reduce those expenses. It needs to be equitable. It doesn't seem fair that somebody should pay $2 to go all the way from Columbia City to the other end of Scappoose, but has to pay $6 to go from St. Helens to Rainier. That didn't make a lot of sense to us. So we needed to make this an equitable system. The other inequitability we found is that the folks that buy monthly passes are paying just over $3 around a trip to Portland and $3 back. So they're paying about $6.50 to and from Portland, but we're asking people that pay cash to pay $12. That's a pretty massive gap, and it doesn't seem like it fits. It makes the pass a fantastic deal, but it isn't really fair for those who can't pony up the money for a $130 pass, and maybe they don't go to work every day, and it's not a good value for them. It didn't make a lot of sense to us, so we needed to equitize those systems. And then overall, we'd like to see ridership increase. Sunset Empire did a study here recently where they dropped all their fares to $1. They immediately saw a 12% increase in their ridership, which then settled down to a 7% increase. Some of our grants are based on ridership. So if we can see an increase in our overall ridership, that would be fantastic for us. Now, unfortunately, fares comprise a decent portion of our overall income. It helps pay the gas bill, basically, the gas for the buses. It helps fund some of our printing costs and other things like that. So we can only do so much damage to our fare system. I would love to be able to offer free rides. Wilsonville's on their way to offer free rides. I would love to be able to get there someday. I don't know that we'll ever get there because of the distances we have to travel. However, we do need to fix our complexity. We need to reduce our overall expenditures on our side. We need to make it a fair system. And we wanted to make a system that people, when they hear how much it costs to ride to Portland, don't choke. I had a gentleman in my office yesterday, and he's a veteran, and he wanted to ride to Portland, and he's only going in for a doctor's appointment, and I told him it's a $10 round trip, and he just paused, called his wife, and asked her if she could drive him. So that tells me right there we have an issue.
I think it's also important to point out here, Todd, that fares in the world of transportation, public transportation, cannot be used as match.
Right.
And so it's almost like whatever you do with your fares, it doesn't make as big of a hit to your entire program because it's not match dollars.
Right. But what's interesting is that ridership does improve grants. Right. So if you can bring your fares into line and get more riders, that can actually help your grants long term. Jeff at Sunset Empire uses the he used to work at Costco, and he says it's a volume business. If you want to move a lot of products, you lower the price. You make up the difference in your product loss by volume. So the lower you can get the price of the product in order to increase the number of sales, then you actually make more money that way. So it's the same kind of idea in transit. If we can make transit more accessible, making it more cost effective for people to actually use, then maybe we can get more people riding the bus, and maybe then it'll help offset any loss we might see in the fares and could increase our grants. Unfortunately, we're not in a great position to do massive damage to it. So we looked at a couple of different options. We looked at changing it to a two-zone system, in-county and out-of-county, just very simple. If you're staying within Columbia County, it costs you one fare. If you're leaving Columbia County, it costs you a separate fare. Why did we make that choice? Because all our systems that leave Columbia County are long hauls, 30 miles. Every single one of them is 30 plus miles. So if you're going to Portland, it's a 30 mile trip. If you're going to Willow Creek, it's a 30 mile trip. If you're going over to Willow Creek from Vernonia, it's a 37 mile trip. Now, when I say in county, we did include Longview Kelso, because Longview Kelso is just over the bridge from Rainier. It's only a couple of miles, and it didn't make a lot of sense to not include that in our current in-county model. So when I say in-county, I'm talking everything inside the Columbia County border, including Longview Kelso. Everything outside the Columbia County border then would be out of county. So you have a two-zone system. If you're boarding the bus and you're staying within the county, you pay one fare. If you're boarding the bus but you're leaving Columbia County, you pay a separate fare. That does a couple of things for us. One, we only need two tickets, an in-county ticket and out-of-county ticket. It makes it simple for the drivers, and it makes it simpler for the passengers. So then we looked at a couple of different options. In-county, we said it could be $1.50 or $2. Out-of-county, it could be $3 or $4. We came up with these figures based on our current pass prices, is kind of where we, and with our focus group, that's where we came up with these figures. And then we said we could have an in-county pass that's $60 or $75, and then the out-of-county pass could either stay the same at $130 or it could come down to $120. And we did the math on those figures to determine what the loss would be and how much we could absorb. And that's where we came up with our recommendations. So we came up our recommendations. We determined that in county we are recommending $2. Why $2? Well, we already charge $2 for the flex route, which covers Columbia City, Scappoose, and St. Helens. And we charge $2 to go from Rainier to Longview Kelso. So why not just take the $2 and simply spread it through the entire county? If you're going to ride the bus in county, it's $2. All that really does is it takes the folks who want to go from Clatskanie to Rainier. Now it only costs them $2 instead of $6. It allows the folks who want to go from Rainier here $2 instead of $6. And it allows folks who want to jump on the line one and ride from Scappoose up to St. Helens $2 instead of paying a line one fare. So it simply opens the door where if you're staying in the county, it just costs you $2 across the board. So you don't have to worry about, is this a $6 zone? Is this a $5 zone? Is this a $7 zone? I can't keep them straight myself. So I think this should be fairly simple for folks. As far as out of county, we determined about $3. We took that from the current pass price for the folks, and then we kind of extrapolated. Most days of the month have about 21 to 22 days. We just ran, two of them have 20, so we went for the lowest. I'm not counting February, which only has 28. But most of them have about 20 working days per calendar month, so that's what we kind of extrapolated. We said, okay, what's a pretty average number? We said $3. Okay, $3. And so $3 for every bus that leaves the county. So if you're going to Portland, it costs you $3 to get to Portland, $3 to get back. Then we took that figure and we turned that into one monthly pass. We got rid of the in-county pass. We found we only sold two or three of them a month at most, yet our printing costs didn't support the printing of those. So we eliminated the in-county pass. We simply will produce one monthly pass that covers all of our systems. It'll cost $120. That's just below $3 for it's $3 on a month that has 20 working days, and then after that, every day after that would simply be free for those who purchase the pass. So the staff's recommendation is in county $2 per boarding. So when you get on the bus. If you're leaving the county, so that would be the line one to Portland, the line two to PCC Willow Creek, and the line six Vernonia, it would be $3. So total of $6 round trip instead of $12 round trip. And we're asking the county to implement that on March 1st. The reason we're saying March 1st is because we need to notify all the businesses that bypasses from us of the change in pass price. We need to notify the riders so that they know, because many people purchase their pass very early. A lot of people in January now have already purchased their February passes. So we need to make sure that we give them plenty of lead time to know what's coming. Now, these fares also do not take into account our reduced fare program. So our reduced fare program applies to all lines except Dial-A-Ride, and it allows those who qualify for low income, those who qualify as seniors, those who qualify as disabled, those who qualify as students, and those who qualify as veterans to have a dollar off that fare. So if you take that into account and they're a part of our reduced fare program, that means they can ride in county anywhere for a dollar. That means they can go to Portland for $2. So it's a good value for those who qualify under those. And for those folks who want to qualify, they just come to our office, and if they're low income, just need to show us proof of their low income, and that could be a WIC voucher. It could be, their Oregon card for food stamps, anything like that. Veterans just need to show their ID. They don't need to get a card from us. They just need to show their veteran's ID, or they can get a card from us. Elderly, they can come in and get a card from us. And we stamp it. It's good for a year. They need to come back in and get it good for a year. We show that to the driver. They pay the reduced fare. It's a nice, simple, easy system. And part of that's funded by the State Transportation Improvement Fund. So we use that to help us fund a reduced fare program. And I think that's it. That's all I got. So we are asking the county to consider the fare reductions beginning Monday. And I know that's soon, but all the prep work has been done to begin the Line 3 on Monday and the Dial-A-Ride reduction on Monday. The Line 2, due to negotiations with PCC, will need to be held off until March 21st. We're asking the commission to allow us to implement that on March 21st, the reduced down to 3 routes. And then we're asking the fare recommendations be implemented as of March 1st, so that we have time to adjust all our passes, purchase new stock, and get everything ready to go.
Great. Thank you for that, Todd.
You're welcome.
Okay. Council.
You can open the hearing to get public comment.
And then is it for or against, or does it matter what order?
It doesn't matter. I think you should just, I recommend you just open it for hearing, just for anybody who wants to speak. Some people might have some positive and some negative at the same time.
All right. We'll go ahead and open the hearing now for testimony. So all who would like to come forward and speak, please do so. Alta, could you do me a favor? Could you grab that microphone and hand it to Blanche? She'd like to speak, but... Thank you, Todd.
Is it on?
It is on.
Thank you very much.
Name and address for the record, please.
Pardon?
Name and address for the record.
Blanche Katz. I live in Avamere Assisted Living. It's 2400 Gable Road in St. Helens. Thank you very much for Todd giving us that good explanation. I have a question, though. On the Dial-A-Ride, are there any federal guidelines that you are necessary?
As far as distance or?
Any changes to the Dial-A-Ride that need to be regulated according to the federal guidelines for Dial-A-Ride?
No, we have a lot of flexibility in the Dial-A-Ride system, so we're pretty good on there. John is reworking the Dial-A-Ride system. We are going to open the Dial-A-Ride up a little more for folks who are not necessarily what we would consider traditional Dial-A-Ride customers, in such a way that if, let's say, we have a ride where we're taking somebody to the doctors, but somebody lives in between those folks, and they call us and say, I'd like a ride, and we can swing by their house and pick them up and drop them off, we're actually going to open the doors to allow those people to use our Dial-A-Ride services in that manner. So that we can maybe get more folks on the bus in between medical appointments. So we're going to change our application process. Right now, we do a bit of screening. We're going to reduce the screening levels and basically accept all applications, and do with the understanding that it's medical priority, elderly priority, disabled priority, veteran priority. And then after that, if there's room on the bus and it's going to pass by an area that you need to go, we'll happily swing by and pick you up.
I want to tell you that these changes, I hope they're only temporary.
Thank you. Anyone else who would like to testify this morning? Is there anybody else? Good morning. Name and address for the record.
Alta Lynch, Post Office Box 369, Scappoose, Oregon. I just want to say about the Dial-A-Ride, and I realize what a needed service that is. And I think the way I understood it from attending some of the meetings that they've had, this may mean that rather than one person being on the Dial-A-Ride, there may be two or three. So people are going to have to make an adjustment there, too, rather than saying, I need picked up at 7 and I want to be here at 7:30. They might be picked up at 6:45 and or, you know, 6:30 as an example. So we're going to have to get that across to the people where a lot of them with Dial-A-Ride, they're used to, in some cases, almost having door-to-door and timely service like they've called a taxi cab. I think that's important. I would say, too, on the monthly passes and how you do out-of-county and in-county, maybe by doing it by the bus numbers, you know, like 1 and 2 aren't going to change or 1 and 6, you know, however that is, because you have out-of-county and you have in-county other than. So you might say there's no change on line, such and such stays the same, so people understand what in and out of county is. That's just me if I were occasionally riding the bus or wanted to know how to ride the bus. There was something else, but I can't remember what it was. It was probably, I'm going to touch on the levy that went through.
That did not go through.
I think there was an error in the way it was done. And that is, you were asking for a permanent. I think you would have gotten more support if you'd have gone and tried it with a 2 to 5 year, and this is by talking with people in the county too. If you would have tried it on a temporary one, and then they could have seen what was done, but it wasn't something that way they were voting on permanently. You might want to keep that in mind for the future, because that's what I heard from a lot of people that said, no way in hell am I voting for a permanent one until they can prove to me that they can run it efficiently. And that there's a need for it. They would have gone for the temporary, but not the permanent. Just saying.
Thank you.
Thank you for that feedback. All right, anybody else? Come on down, Joe Turner. It's been a while since we've seen you.
Yes, I'm Joe Turner from Columbia City. And for three times now, the county has voted down a transit district. I would like to commend Mr. Wood and his staff who have worked diligently to develop a transit system to operate on the current limited budget. Upon review of his, I've gone to several transit meetings, and as proposed today, I support about 99%. On line 3, eventually, we need a flexibility to also consider Deer Island, because there's at least 10 people that live in the mobile home park that have limited mobility. So in the future, we may have to include that on line 3. After considering we have PCC bus, I would almost either cut it or we maybe add Tannisbourne as a turnaround point so people locally can go to Tannisbourne Shopping Center if we're not going to cut the bus.
That bus does go all the way down to Willow Creek, right, which is right there.
Right. It's
it goes right there.
If we can continue the PCC grant part of it, that might be doable. And I support the lower fares, the last one where it's $2, $3, and keeping Longview Kelso as a local.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you, Joe.
Thank you.
I remember.
Would you like to come back up?
Why not?
And name and address for the record.
Alta Lynch, I'm still at Post Office Box 369, Scappoose, Oregon. I just told Todd, because it reminded me when they said something. Maybe if you didn't call it the PCC bus, you called it the Washington County bus with stops at such, such, and such, because a lot of people are just under the impression that it goes to PCC. Mm-hmm. And they don't realize that sometimes you have the connection then to go to Willow Creek or these other stops. And yeah, perhaps, because this lady just said here, oh, I'd go. So maybe you need to change the name of that and then reflect where they can get off and maybe do some shopping and stuff, and you might get a little more activity. I'd change it to a Washington County bus.
And keep in mind, we are the connection. Our bus is the service from Rock Creek to Willow Creek with stops through Tannisbourne, and we've had that Willow Creek connection for 8 or 9 years,
at the Willow Creek, at least. But a lot of people are not aware that they could stop at these others. So
yeah, I mean, it goes right by there and does those stops. So, you know, it's a good point. Point well taken. Thank you.
Great, thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to testify this morning? Is there anybody else who would like to testify this morning? This will be my third and final offer for testimony. Okay, we will go ahead and close this hearing. Board, what is the will of the board this morning?
Madam Counsel, did you have, we were talking this morning and you had some concerns about the way the order was written. Is that correct,
yes,
or has that been changed?
Actually, I want to bring an order to you this afternoon that clarifies all the changes that are proposed, and I'd like to read out what I gleaned from both the staff report and Todd's presentation today so that we can make sure we're all on the same page. So what I have is the following service changes.
Could you speak into your microphone?
Oh, right, here we go.
Move that on the other side.
Can you hear me now? Is this on? Yeah, I think it's on. Okay, so what I have for the following service changes are line 2, PCC Willow Creek, shall be reduced to 3 trips per day beginning March 21st, 2020. Line 3 Flex shall be reduced to 5 trips per day. Dial-a-ride shall be reduced to 16 hours per day with no service beyond 1 mile of lines 3, 5, 6, and Sunset Empire service within Columbia County. And then I have the following fare changes to the CC Rider fares. The current 3-zone system shall be replaced with a 2-zone system, which shall provide for 1 fare for trips within the county and 1 fare for trips that are to or from outside of the county. Fares shall be as follows and shall be paid for each boarding: $2 for rides within Columbia County, Longview, Kelso included; $3 for rides to or from outside of Columbia County. The monthly pass shall be $120, and the fare changes shall become effective March 1st, 2020. Unless otherwise stated, all other service changes shall become effective January 12th, 2020. Is that correctly? Is that an accurate representation of staff's recommendation? And so I'd like to get the board's feedback on that proposal.
The thing that I think that you missed in the conversation about the Route 3 was that of the 5 trips, 2 will run in reverse, which need to be specifically called out. Is that correct, Todd?
I don't know if they do. It is a part of the STIF grant that we're using to fund that. And so we are running to, specifically, the Line 3's grant requires some in reverse. I've chosen to run 2 in reverse.
Okay, but
some could be 1.
So realistically, the Line 3 is running 7 hours a day. That's how much service I'm providing on the Line 3 is 7 hours per day. We have spread it out to 5 trips per day, with 2 of those trips running in the reverse direction.
But as far as Robin's clarification in the order itself, do we need to call that out or not?
I don't think so. I think 5 trips per day is sufficient.
Okay, all right. That was the only clarification that I had on that.
Any other clarifications?
Go ahead, Margaret. Sorry.
5 trips per day with 2 reverse trips sounds to me like 7. There are 7 trips. So
that's why I think it should
5
say
trips
a
day.
Yeah.
Right. Without, okay, so not
and
say
to be
with
clear, two. The all 5 trips go the same route. It's just that one is heading in this way, the other one is heading in the opposite direction.
Right.
Serves the same number of stops, same
rough
stop locations for the most part. Simply the way the bus is going around is different. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Great.
Any other clarifications to what I read out?
Do we need to address the naming convention of the line 2 at this time, or was that line 3? Hang on. Yeah, line 2, or should...
So the naming convention doesn't have to be ordered by the board.
Okay.
That's the
I didn't think
changes.
So, but I wanted to address the concern that came up today.
Yeah, this staff can take that into consideration, I think.
Okay.
So if those changes sound good, what I will do is bring this order to you this afternoon when you meet at the work session for approval.
I think that sounds good, board.
All right. Yeah. Thank you.
Okay.
We're all in agreement. Thank you, Robin.
Are we going to still gonna take some time to deliberate?
Yeah, go for it.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, go for it, Sir Henry.
I just want to say thanks to Todd and staff for putting together a great package here. I think that it's important for us to note that we're entering our 16th year of service, the county running CC Rider, and as we've done for all of those years, it's a matter of survival. And 16 years ago, when the system was, you know, when the previous providers brought the keys to the courthouse and told the commissioners that they were out of money and could no longer run the system, it was largely a dollaride system. I mean, the city of Vernonia had 4 buses running every day, and every one of those was like a private taxi cab because the system was dollaride. And over the course of these last 16 years, in order to survive and keep the system up, I mean, thank goodness the commissioners at the time had the foresight and wherewithal to accept those keys and then decide we're going to do something with this rather than just sell the buses and shut her down. And so it's gone through many, many renditions. And Mr. Turner's correct. There's been a number of asks for local funding because the one thing that folks don't realize is we're the only system of any bus system that touches Columbia County that doesn't have a local taxing measure that supports it. And we're one of only 4 systems, I believe, in the state that doesn't have a local taxing measure supporting it. So the county has been able to, with help from partners and contracts with PCC and a hell of a lot of blood, sweat, and tears out of ODOT, Arla Miller's in the audience, Kathy Klezak from Sunset Empire's in the audience. These are partners that without their help, we would have gone under a long time ago. And so it's been one of those things where for all these years we've held on by our fingernails to keep our head above water. And today the system is no longer largely a dollaride system because it would have failed a decade or more ago. So we go through these exercises, and it's not always easy. And when we hear people talk about going to a hair appointment or something like that, people, you know, those of us with cars, oh, pshaw, who cares, you know, let them do their hair at home or whatever. You know, all these kind of, you know, attitudes of folks that drive that, you know, like myself, if I want to go to the store, I want to run to Scappoose and get my hair cut, I get in the damn car and go. It is easy for us to do that. But many of us that drive around in our cars or our pickup trucks or things like that don't realize that there are literally thousands of people living in this county, including the highest percentage of veterans population per capita of any county in the state of Oregon, that don't have that option. And we also don't have a single taxi service in this county. We have 2 or 3 Uber drivers in this county that don't make money here because guess where the fares are? The fares are in Portland and the fares are in Washington County and places like that. So for those very, very small number of Uber drivers we have here, if you have the wherewithal to go onto your phone and have an app and know how to use it and get an Uber call, you may have to pay $150 to get that Uber driver that lives in Scappoose to come from Portland to pick you up to take you to a doctor's appointment in Portland, because guess what? It's unregulated rates. That's why public transportation is subsidized by the federal government, by the state government, and in most cases by the local taxpayers and local government to make it happen. So what we're talking about here today in Todd's rather lengthy and very thorough discussion is another adjustment to a system that without a local funding source has to make the adjustments to survive. Because I think that this board and certainly our staff realize the importance of this system to those people. And I don't care if they're a commuter to downtown. I think it's important because we take that many cars off the road. I don't care if they are an elderly person needing to get their hair done. That is an important part of their life. They need that social interaction. They need to be able to get to the grocery store. They need to be able to get to the senior center to play a game of cards with their friends. These are all things that those of us who have keys in a car take for granted. So we do what we can to make it work. And I hate to see any kind of reduction in service, but this is what it's going to take. So good work, staff. Thank you all for the folks that have shown up here to testify today, because it's important for us to make this decision collectively. We've done the outreach. We've been out in the communities asking these questions. We've been, Todd and I, two, three weeks ago, on our knees in a meeting room with PCC saying, please, please, we can't survive without your funding, but we also can't afford to run four routes a day. And thank goodness our partnership and the solid agreement we have with them came to a conclusion in a negotiation that kept the funding solid and let us cut some service or cut some expense out of that service to make it happen. We have to do these things every time just to survive. And the reason is because we just don't have the luxury for those people who say it's a luxury. For me, I say it's a necessity to have this piece of our infrastructure, which will support jobs in the future, will support economic development in the future, which will support the services that elderly, disabled, veterans, and those with lower incomes than some in order to get the services that they need. And as far as I'm concerned, we will continue to work for appropriate funding levels into the future. In the meantime, we have to make adjustments as best we can, and I think Todd, you and your staff have done a great job in this presentation. Now, thank you, Mr. Chair.
Margaret.
Mr. Chair, how could I say any more? Great job of going over all of that, Henry. Appreciate that. But thank you so much. I think that you have, Todd, John, and all of your staff brought us good information. You have done outreach. I'm really impressed because you got Joe Turner to support most, 99% was that, Joe? Hey, that was pretty positive. And to ODOT and Sunset Empire, and also your focus groups. I really think that that was great to get that input from folks. You've done a good job, and I am supportive of this. As Henry said, I hate to see cuts, but I think you have really created an efficient system that hopefully voters in the future will see the value of this. I know that I've said this several times, that maybe when I was 25, I didn't take into consideration the needs of all of the people who use transit. But now I am more knowledgeable and feel that there are a lot of people that use this service. We're looking at some folks who used to use this service to go to Portland to work, but who are now retired, that are in our audience, that don't have to use it anymore. But getting folks, all those cars off the road, I think it is a good thing, too. So thank you so much for all the work, and thank you all of you who are here to give your opinions. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Commissioner Magruder. Yes, I too would like to applaud staff. They have not had an easy couple of years, but a true testament to what they have done was acknowledged today by Mr. Turner, who pretty much was shut it down, shut it down, shut it down, shut it down, no. And then today came before us and said, you know, I support 99% of what you did. I'm pretty impressed with what your staff has done with the limited resources they have.
And I, too, am impressed with what you have done and where we are headed, and the fact that you recognize the need to show the value of the system and to build the right size system to show the community what we can do with what little resources we have, and continue to build upon that to tell our story of why transit is so important. So thank you all for your hard work. Is there any other discussion that we would like to have at this time?
I just want to say that this afternoon, when this comes before us, I will be supportive of the changes.
As will I.
Yes.
So with that, we will go ahead and close the hearing or the discussion of the hearing, and we will continue on down our agenda. Next item on the agenda is the consent agenda. All right, here we go. Item A, ratify the selective pay for December 30th, 2019. B, ratify plat of Caswell Park in the city of Scappoose, Oregon, recorded in plat book 8, page 12 and 13, per instrument number 2019-10801. C, ratify personnel action for Karen Kane. D, amended order number 88-2019 in the matter of distributing Strategic Investment Program, SIP, payments for 2019, amended to correct percentage error in Exhibit A. Agreements, contracts, and amendments. E, C-162-2019, purchase and sales agreement by and between Busted Knuckles Holding LLC, Dean Parton, and Columbia County for tax map ID 4 North 2 West 616-CC, 02601 and tax account number 7650. F, C-163-2019, renumbered from C-157-2019, amendment number 1 to intergovernmental agreement with the City of St. Helens for Gable Road bicycle and pedestrian lane. G, C-164-2019, renumbered from C-158-2019, intergovernmental agreement with Sunset Empire Transportation District for Gillig bus use.
Did I say that right?
Yeah.
I don't know who's hitting the mic.
That's correct.
H, approve the reappointment of Alta Lynch to the Columbia County Planning Commission with a term to expire December 31st, 2023, and authorize the chair to sign. I, approve the appointment of Nathan Smith to the Columbia County Solid Waste Advisory Committee with a term to expire December 31st, 2023. J, C1-2020, Oregon Office of Emergency Management Homeland Security Grant Program, agreement number 19-216, and authorized chair to sign. K, C4-2020, amendment number 2 to the Oregon Department of Transportation grant agreement number 31970, which is a 5311, for transit capital and operations.
Mr. Chairman, good job in getting all of that read. I would move to approve the consent agenda items A through D, contracts, amendments, and agreements, items E through K.
Second.
It has been moved and seconded to approve the consent agenda as presented. All in favor signify by aye.
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 All right. Opposed? Same sign. Motion passes unanimous. Next item on our agenda is matters. Are there any matters to come before this board right now? Hearing none, we will move on. Next item is discussion items. Are there any discussion items that need to come before this board? Hearing none, we will continue on. Commissioner Magruder.
Why, thank you, Commissioner Tardif, Mr. Chair. I would just like to say that tomorrow, the 9th of January, is Law Enforcement Appreciation Day. And I just hope everybody takes a moment to appreciate our law enforcement folks who take care of us out there, especially during times of poor weather when traffic safety might be an issue. So be careful as you're driving along. I know that in Clatskanie we had some rocks come down off the hill, and somebody got hit by one last night, I believe. So So Louise, you and I have to be careful. It was nice to see.
I sat outside Beaver Ramp for almost a half hour.
Really?
Because I think I got there right after they closed the road.
Ah, well, it was good. This morning in the dark, the sign was up that said, watch for falling rocks, which I, having been a longtime resident along there, am well aware of, but there was nothing out there this morning, so just be careful, everyone. Thank you.
Commissioner Heimuller.
Welcome back. It seems like it's been a while since we met, and in fact, it has. Our last meeting was the 18th of last month, and I hope everyone had happy holidays. It seems like I've been in intensive care one way or the other throughout the holidays, but nonetheless, and my wife was here for the hearing a minute ago, and she's as sick as I was and wanted to get in. Well, at least hear the conversation, and today happens to be her birthday.
Oh, happy birthday, Pam!
Happy birthday, Pam! And she's
and
gone
also,
now.
Yeah, and Friday was her final day of work for the federal government, and she's worked for them for 40 years, and so she retired Friday, and today's her birthday, and she's sick, and she still came here to hear this transit thing, so. Happy birthday.
And she's not
her.
On the bus going
and
to
she's
work
not,
and
she's
coming
not
home
riding
today.
The bus back and forth, which, yeah, she's I guaranteed our longest rider on Columbia County Rider. But I have really no updates this week. I'm supposed to be at COPAC and Northwest ACT meeting tomorrow in Klatsk and I. That's 10 a.m. Leading that off. And then Friday in Warrenton for Northwest Housing Authority work session that day. So I'm hoping that I continue to feel well enough to travel. So thank you, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. And then AOC is next Monday as
next
well,
Monday.
Right? Yeah.
Yes.
All right. Well, I guess I will go ahead and just wrap it up with a Happy New Year. May you have clear vision in 2020. And the board will be in Salem next week for our Association of Oregon Counties meeting, where we will start diving into legislation. So if you have comments or concerns about what may happen in this short session, please reach out to your commissioners. We are your voice, and we will go and fight and champion. Thank you all, and have a great day.